The reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 32. I can be found on page 1094 of the Pew Bible. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witness of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, and for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Ian. So today we are finishing our study of Luke's description of the resurrection of Jesus and what happened next. And as you'll see when we get into today's passage, in a way we've come full circle. Today we're going to look at two things: the message that the apostles had for everybody and people's response. So what was it that Peter and the other apostles were telling people? That's the message. And what happened when the people heard the message? That's the response. But why don't we start with a very quick recap of where we've been. Luke has tackled the themes of resurrection, the ascension, and the giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And telling the story from his unique perspective as a Gentile physician, he focuses on the outsiders and shows us how the disciples' journey from despair to joy and empowerment via the Holy Spirit fulfills all the prophecies given in the Old Testament scriptures. So let's look at what Peter has to say. This is all taking place on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit has been poured out on the apostles when they were praying in the upper room with a mighty rushing wind, with tongues of fire, and they've gone rushing out to tell people the good news that Jesus is alive. And to everybody's amazement, whatever language they speak, they can understand what those apostles are saying, because they've received a supernatural gift from God. And what did Peter actually say? Well, first of all, he's telling them that Jesus has risen from the dead. Everything stems from this. And where is this Jesus now? Well, he's ascended. He's exalted to the right hand of God. And from there, he has passed on the gift of the Holy Spirit, as he promised, which has caused the commotion that attracted a crowd in the first place. So, Jesus is risen, he's exalted in heaven, and he's given us the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he is the one that you've been waiting for. He is the Messiah. And this is what salvation looks like. It's a very simple message, isn't it? But it punches hard. You can't argue with it either. If you were there in Jerusalem, you would have heard the stories about Jesus. You may well have seen him or heard him for yourself. He might have taken part in the speculation about, who is this man? What's going on? And now his closest followers suddenly have a burning message that they can tell you in words that you can understand. So it lands, doesn't it? This message hits home in their hearts. Now before, news of the death of Jesus would have, I don't know, aroused a shrug of the shoulders perhaps. There goes another one, another would-be Messiah. Next one of many. Good thing I didn't get too close, really. I might have got caught up in it all, been rounded up myself. Thank goodness for that. I had a lucky escape. But now, it seems like news about this Jesus has come and found you, whether you like it or not. And when Luke says that people were cut to the heart, it implies that they were feeling guilty, doesn't it? Were those listeners amongst the crowd that shouted for Jesus to be crucified 50 days ago? Some of them, perhaps. Or were they guilty just of misjudging Jesus, thinking he was just another failed Messiah? Either way, they were suddenly feeling sorry for not having believed in him before. It's interesting, isn't it? That all the major revivals in church history have been characterized by people feeling sorry for their sins and desperately seeking forgiveness. When God breaks through into a human heart, our first reaction is often sorrow and guilt for having kept him out for so long. What must we do? The people ask. And again, Peter's got a simple answer. Step one, repent. Repent doesn't mean be sorry. It's what you should do because you are sorry. Repent means change, turn around. Stop doing what you were doing and start doing something different. And the first different thing to do is step two. Get baptized. John the Baptist had started this, getting people immersed in water as a sign of their repentance. It's never enough just to say sorry. You've got to back up the sorry with a change in your behavior. And these first Christians are joyfully seizing on this idea of baptizing people, saying, come on, let this be a sign for you that you are starting afresh. And then come and share the gift. There's enough to go around, enough and to spare. So to people who thought that the chance had passed them by, to people who felt guilty that they hadn't believed sooner, to people who realized that fear had made them keep their distance, Peter is saying, it's okay. Come near. God still welcomes you. And this is a great message that we can take to friends and family who may have come close to God in the past, but are now far off. Maybe people who used to come to church, but for one reason or another, don't do so any longer. Many of us have a complicated journey on our way to faith. Sometimes we're enthusiastic, sometimes we're full of doubts. Some of us have had our fingers burned in the past. But there's something here, something powerful. Something worth having, isn't there? There's something stirring. The Spirit is moving. Times of refreshing are drawing near. One of Luke's favourite words is existini. He uses it 11 times. It's a word that's often translated amazed or astonished. But it can also be used to mean crazy, out of your mind. Luke used it to describe the feelings of the crowd as they listened to Peter telling the mighty acts of God. And to all the other apostles who'd told them in their own languages. I guess my favourite translation of it might be gobsmacked, mind blown. When God speaks clearly to you in ways that you can understand, it blows your mind. But it also gives you another chance, a fresh opportunity to repent, change your ways, change your mind, and be baptized, join the family of faith. 3,000 people stepped up and made the change that day. Countless millions, even billions, have done so since. Maybe soon it'll be one of your friends who does it. So never give up praying for it to happen. Amen. Amen.